Thank you, worship team. What a blessing. We sang them a few of the golden oldies. I appreciate that, my brother Joey. Do it again. For some of us, golden oldies. Hallelujah. I got a message that I want to bring to you today, and I feel it's timely. You can be the judge for yourselves. I'll judge in my spirit, but how many of you have heard the phrase, keep the main thing, yeah? I have some thoughts today. Why wouldn't it be natural to keep the main thing the main thing? Why would it be a struggle to keep the main thing the main thing? I don't know if you have thoughts like that. That perplexes me. But I want to walk through some things this morning. I'm going to show you a short video in a little bit. May kick us off Facebook. It shouldn't. It's just a guy preaching. But you know, I believe I gained some insight. And I believe that in the day we're in, there's some warning and some vigilance that is required of us who are believers. More now than in previous generations. Because I believe that there is an enemy who is provoking us. And he's doing it from many sides. And one of the things I see, I'm going to try to work it through here so it can be relatable and so it can become very understood. But I thought about these things. Why would it be so hard to keep the main thing the main thing? And, you know, there's something that's in us that many times we can get sidetracked with several thoughts. One of those thoughts is, you know what? I think I could do it better. It happens, right? You know, that's the basis of capitalism. Is somebody doing it better? But there's certain areas where we're not supposed to try to do it better because better has been expressed to us, even best. Another thought that comes is, well, if they can have the platform, I want the platform and the mic. We love notoriety and personality and some of those things, and so we can get caught up in what it feels like or what we think it would feel like to be able to stand in front of people. Or we can go the other direction and just have ideas about those who do lead and say, well, you know, they're just control freaks. They just want their way, and they're going to make sure they get it. Then what follows that is the thought of what I would do. And that's how we get away from the main thing. It's a little bit like this. This is something that I felt that God had brought to me this morning. We've got a few factory workers here, right? What is the main thing in a factory? Really, honestly, there's only one main thing in the factory. It's the product. Right? The product has to be the main thing. Unless it's the paycheck. Because if it's about the paycheck, I just took it away from the company and brought it to me. It's not about how they do it, it's about what affects me. And how I want to be rewarded without the concern for how that affects all of us. And I think that we're going through things in this nation that are a little bit in that mentality, and I believe, just going to say it, I believe it's greatly infected the church. And I say that generally, not just here. I think we are in days when we're going to have to guard our hearts, our minds, our attitudes, our motives so carefully because of the day we're in, because it's so hard to keep the main thing when it's being eroded from every side, and even our thoughts are distracted in so many ways that we soon lose sight of what the main thing even is. Here's what happens. We become specialists. Now, please understand, these are just thoughts, okay? Then we're going to get to a video, and then we're going to get to some word. But you see, the church can be in the same place where what doctrine matters most? What is the main thing of doctrine? What is it that, you know, what is it that we really believe in? And what is the priority? And how does this work? And all these things. And we can make certain things about doctrine. And we live in an area where, coming from religious backgrounds, doctrine, the first doctrine that many would see is the outward appearance and clothes. And so that way somebody can look at me and tell that I'm different. But is that the main doctrine? No. But for some, it becomes specialist. We specialize in that. For others, it becomes other parts of doctrine, so to speak, of the church. Eschatology, the study of last days. I don't know, are you pre, mid, post? Do you believe the Jews are done? Do you believe it's now the church that matters? Do you believe that some of the seals and trumpets have already gone? Do you think that all of this? And we can get so caught up in the last days. Pardon? I want answers. And so if I don't know one, I'll just tell you one. And we become specialists. Even in the gifts, the church is divided over gifts, and especially tongues. You think people ought to act like that? It was rhetorical. You know, honestly, look how divided the church is and how much, you know, specialty there is in the church nowadays with all this stuff. And yet the individuality of gifts threatens many of the well-being of the church. How in the world are you going to keep all that in order? Well, I'm not sure. I guess we just get some out-of-order signs and put some tape on it. And every once in a while when somebody comes up, just slap them on the head and say, out of order. What? We just go through things, and pretty soon the gap between certain churches is just that thing, because they feel like you specialized in it and you feel like they've lost it. Healing. God knows where we've gone with that. Can you ever imagine a day when healing would split churches? But when we make specialty out of things, we lose traction in the main thing. Then it gets so, goodness gracious, are they? How about the biggie? Style of worship. Because now you know worship is actually singing, music. So we've made that the biggest specialty in the church now. And now that becomes the specialty that Well, I like what they do over here. Well, I like what they do over here. Now we have a contemporary service, a traditional service, and a wannabe service. And we are one church, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of all, but three services that are all different because people prefer them. I think we left the main thing. And then it becomes masks and vaccines. Church is splitting over masks. How far can you get from the main thing? So here's what I want to do. I can't say it near as good as this guy. So Josiah, let her rip, buddy. Nice and loud. Anybody seen this video?
Preach the message today.
Nice and loud.
The division that is existing in America right now. I'm not just talking about racial division. This is far beyond black and white. It went from, this is how you know it's a demon. Because it keeps moving. One year it's black versus white. One year it's brown versus green. One year it's this versus that. This year it's vaccinated versus unvaccinated. Y'all not gonna help nobody. But I got an eye on this thing, and I come to tell the devil today, I know what you're up to. I know what scheme you've got up your sleeve. I know what you're trying to do to the church of the living God. You're trying to keep us mad at each other, hollering at each other. We don't trust one another. We don't love one another. We've got anger in our heart and malice in our soul. And you don't love me because you didn't get vaccinated. And you don't love God because you got vaccinated. And you ain't got a mask on, so you don't love your neighbor. And you got a mask on so you don't have no faith. Shut up in the name of Jesus. We are the body of Christ. If you want to get a shot, get a shot. If you want to wear a mask, get a mask. But let God be true and every man be a liar. Zoom in on my face. It doesn't matter how many times you invoke the name of Jesus. If you ran from Facebook bashing on people into the church to shout unto God, save your shout, get to the altar, repent of the malice, and ask God to forgive you. It's time to stop the division.
That's shareable, by the way. You see, if we don't start saying that stuff, you think the enemy is going to relent in his onslaught of division? You know what the best way to wage war is? Exactly. Divide and conquer. Make the groups smaller. The smaller the group, the more fearful they become. The more fearful they become, the more division you can infect. The more division you can infect, they will divide into smaller groups. And pretty soon, they'll be in bowel by themselves, and you can beat the tar out of them because they don't know how to even compare among themselves to see what's going on in their own life. The best tactic of war is to wedge yourself off a section of the opposing army and get them all flustered. And pretty soon, they think they're defeated, and they're calling defeat to their partners. It's happening. We have to decide who we're going to be in Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Because, see, I believe this is not going to get better right away. So we don't wait to see what they're going to say to have our response ready. But what we have to do as Christians and as River of Life Church is decide who we are. Are we going to be worshipers of the Almighty? Or are we going to let somebody tell us who we are, servants of a government and servants of a state and servants of all of this, so they can just continue to tell you what you can do and what you can't do? I'm not anti-authoritarian at all. But I don't believe our enemy is necessarily the government. I believe there's some of them that are being greatly used by our real enemy, who is keeping his main thing the main thing. And that is, come against the church. If he can divide the church, he takes momentum from the kingdom. Our job has to be the product and not our specialty. You can talk all you want about how you're gifted and how we're gifted and what all we can do and make your face glorious and get in the microphone and do all that, but what about the kingdom? And our job is the product, not the paycheck. 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. This is Paul writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, who's probably in Ephesus. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. In other words, this is what I want you to do. Now, he's already talked in this chapter about deacons and elders and some of the other things, but I'm writing these things so that you can keep the main thing, the main thing. Listen to what he says. I'm going to read verse 15 again. But if I tarry long, if I'm not able to come very soon, I want you to know how you have to do things in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. This has been what's on my heart all week long, the pillar and the ground of truth. I've already spoke about it on Wednesday morning in a revived prayer time, and it's the kind of thing where I look at this and say, Paul is writing to Timothy and saying, here's how important it is that you follow these things, because I'll tell you what the church is to this world. The pillar and the ground of truth. It's the foundational truth and the living witness, the edifice, the building that the world sees and realizes there is a kingdom inside this kingdom. There's a kingdom of this world, but there's a kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And it's visible through the church. And that has to be the main thing for we who believe. But what the enemy is trying to do is get us to deflect and go into our specialties, so that we think this is the main thing, and we declare this is the main thing, and then we do this, and this is the main thing. But what we have to look at is, what is the product, and keep this as the main thing. Oh, we'd all love to push and pull into our direction. What is the most important thing to you? Well, I can tell you this. If you're musical, probably worship. If you're like me, study. It's awesome. You learn a lot. I'm gonna tell on you just a little bit here. My dear sister Mina sent me some songs that she wanted me to look at. I don't believe she'd mind at all me saying this. I'll let Jerry stay as far away from me as he can. But she sent me three songs to look at. And, you know, she was talking about, what do you think of these? And so here's what I said, and here comes mine, so she can check out my story for sure, okay? So I text her back. It took me a little while because I really do like to look. But here's what strikes me. Okay? We have created the specialty of worship music now to where if it doesn't sound exactly like the video that was played in there, people are going to go, it's okay, but it's not as good. Not as good as the original. Did you hear that? That guitar wasn't even like it was in the video. And then what probably got me the most, one video opens up and here's a gal with a leather winter jacket on and a stocking hat on her head, standing next to another guy who's just got a t-shirt and jeans on, so you know it's not cold. And it's like you got to ask yourself, do I need to hold my hand in a certain way? Do I, because there's now not just music, it's attitude towards worship. And this is how we do it. And it's got to have a certain swell. And it's got to have a certain rhythm. And there's got to be obviously two different verses, because you got to join them with a first bridge so that you can get to the second bridge. And then you can do the chorus, because now we have to build these songs into something that's going to do what? And pretty soon, you know what I think? I actually think there's a paycheck at the end instead of a product. And I'm just asking today. Because sometimes I think that in the church, we pray like it's a paycheck and not a product. I mean, I love the book Crazy Love by Francis Chan. Because he says this, he says, what's the most common prayer? Let's just say you're going to take a trip. What's the most common prayer you're going to pray? Oh God, protect us as we go. Go with us wherever we go. He says, who are we that we have to tell God to do something that he's already promised to do? Are you thinking you can go down the road and he won't follow you? Or you can go such back roads that he doesn't know where you are? But he goes on to say, what if you would actually pray, Father, whatever could possibly glorify you the most on this journey, let it be done in me. If I need a flat tire to stop and talk to somebody, let me have a flat tire. If there needs to be something on the way, then stop me so that I can do what you want me to do. But Father, I'm not here for the paycheck. I am here for the product. And the product is the kingdom. I'm serious in this, because so what happens is we get specializing in all of these areas. And please understand me, I love music. But as one who corresponds with worship leaders, you know what they feel? They feel the pressure instead of the freedom to do what they do. And I'll just tell you, when she comes in with a stocking hat, I'll say something. But you see, I've been around this stuff long enough. We joke about it. How many years ago was it that we used to have the extra person on the worship team? We've been a church 25, 27 years now. For the first several years, we had to have the extra person on the worship team, and their job was the acetates. They had to slide them up and slide them back down as we sing the verses and the choruses. My, we've come a long way. We don't have to do that anymore. We've eliminated jobs. I don't know why they can't find help. Let me read the next verse in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Because I want you to see this. After he says it's the pillar and the ground of truth, which is the church, he says this, and without controversy, without question, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is it's crazy. It's just awkward. It's weird. And yet it's awesome. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. You want to talk about the main thing? It's him. And anything that detracts from him has sidelined the main thing. And that's my concern in the church. Because I've told many pastors, I said the worst thing that I see in the church right now is simply the division. People that used to sit next to each other now question, who has the vaccine? Who wears a mask? What are we going to do? Are you going to obey? What's the health department going to say? How's this going to work? I want to put a sign up out in front. Can I say that? I told the elders, I want to put a sign up out in front. This building is a church. It's separated for one thing only, for the worship of the Most High. We don't mandate masks. We don't question vaccines. And we don't shame anybody on any side of it. Because when we come in, we come of our own desire to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And anybody that enters would know that. This is that way, anybody that looks and says, well, they're doing that. Yeah, well, that's what it says. I'm not saying, you know, some people put up this as a no mask on. I don't want to do that. If you need to wear a mask, wear one. Hallelujah for you. If you're my brother and sister, there should be zero judgment on from me for whatever you do, because I'm living my truth, you live yours. And if you receive any judgment in that area, shame on them. But when are we going to talk about it? We just let them do all the talking, and we become the responders, and we don't know where we stand, and pretty soon we begin to fear one another. I'm going, that's not okay with me. This is the church of the living God. We've been called according to his name. We've been bought with the same blood. If there are things that happen in the midst of this congregation and somebody gets terribly sick, let them call for the elders of the church. That's the prescription we have. But what you do after that is completely up to you. Go to the doctor. Nobody should judge that. Stay home and believe God. Nobody should judge that. All of this becomes your personal truth and your way of serving God, and we have to be able to get past that, because none of that is the main thing. I hope you can receive this. When we come up here to preach, we can't afford to have a clouded message about this other stuff, because all it does, the more you think about it, is it delineates and draws lines in between people. And pretty soon, you've got factories that have cliques and unions in them. And these don't talk to these, and them won't see them. And now this section is this, and you're just going, stop it. It's him. He came for us so that we could walk in freedom. And what do you have to do to get freedom? You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Here's what we don't understand. After Jesus as our truth, after understandings of doctrines that is pure, we don't all believe the same thing. And that's okay. We're individuals. But the main thing is that we believe what Paul wrote there and said, great is the mystery of godliness, because it's all about Jesus. Jesus came as to show us the relationship with the Father. And when we see the expression of his love toward us by sending Jesus Christ in the flesh, that's the main thing. I can't deliver you. I can't heal you. I really can't do a lot for you. I can encourage you. You don't need me. You need him. And when you have him, you have everything. When you have his truth, you have truth. And that truth should make you free. Free from what? Free from all of the other constraints of other people's opinions, ideas, and truths. Why? Because I believe God reveals himself to us individually. If there is judgment toward any one of you in my heart about these things of earth, I am out of bounds. And I want you to hear me say that, because it's easy in this kind of atmosphere in our world to think that somebody has something against you when truthfully, it's not even there. Because the enemy is still trying to divide and conquer and bring us into places where we'll believe something we think rather than going finding out the truth. And it's dividing churches. Go with me to a very important passage of Scripture. Go with me to Jude chapter 3. I'm just waiting. I know, Jerry, we're on it. Jude only has one chapter, so I'm just waiting. And there's supposed to be revolt and rebellion, but you guys are so responsive that you go, dummy. I want you to hear this, though. There is something that Jude says right off the bat in his letter that you can tell he's concerned about the main thing. It says this: Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. I think that's us. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. What's that? That's the main thing. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. What are you supposed to do? What does it mean to contend? Yeah. Anybody ever watch a boxing match? There's the champion, and there's the contender. And there's going to be a fight. And we are to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. In other words, it's going to be a fight to keep the main thing the main thing. And then he's going to spend a number of verses telling us why. So just have that in your mind. For there are certain men who have crept in unaware. What does that mean? It means that we haven't seen their motives. We just see them. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our Lord, of our God, into lasciviousness. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Okay, lasciviousness. Let me just give you a very short definition for that. And that would mean just serving myself, basically. Doing what I want to do. It would entail that there are perversions and things. But the truth is, it's turning the grace of God into lasciviousness means I believe that I can do this and God justifies me. Okay? Listen, let's go on. I will therefore put you in remembrance. So in other words, he's going to now give us examples of what he's talking about. Though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people, Israel, out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. What's he talking about? Spies. The spies that went into the land. How many went in? 12. 10 came back and said, can't do it. 2 came back and said, yes. Cost them 40 years and all the people. Wiped out a generation. Why? They didn't believe. Because they already had a promise. And the angels which kept not their first estate but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. I believe that these are the angels who had relationships with humans and created giants in that fashion that are, you can read about in Scripture. And God immediately said, you've crossed the line. This is your punishment. You don't have a life anymore. And they're bound in chains in absolute darkness until the judgment when they'll be cast into the lake of fire. Then he goes to another one. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. I think it pretty well tells you what was happening there, right? It's not hard to figure out. They're set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. In other words, God's serious about his justice. And what we have to do is make sure that we're giving a clear line so that people can choose kingdom. Not preference, not specialty, kingdom. I'm going to go on a little bit. Likewise, also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. In other words, they defy authorities trying to rein them in because they are going to chase after what they want to in their specialty. Yet Michael, the archangel, even contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. He dared not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." In other words, he followed the chain of authority, knowing who he was dealing with. If you want to know more about that, just study it out. But these same people, these speak evil of those things which they don't know, but what they know naturally, in a sense, as brute beasts. In other words, they have a natural mind that is conjuring these things, but it's not spirit. In those things, they corrupt themselves. Now, I want you to hear this last verse. "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They've ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." Let's just take a minute, separate them. They've gone in the way of Cain. You know the story of Cain, don't you? Who is he involved with? His brother Abel. And that's a fascinating story because here it is. First generation offspring. I mean, come on. How fast can corruption come? This is something we ought to be aware of. I mean, how good is the devil? Of course, he only had to deal with four people, so it's pretty, you know, direct. He got Eve when there was only two. But he comes down, and in first generation, we have murder. But why? You know, I don't know how all this plays out, but somehow they knew to sacrifice. And yet Cain knew that his was an unacceptable sacrifice. And he actually had a conversation with God. That's what I read. And God tells him, "Cain, if you do well, won't it be well with you? But if not, sin lies at the door." In other words, there's a line drawn here. And if you don't keep the main thing, what was his problem? He was rivaled against his brother. He wasn't focused on sacrifice. He was concentrating on being right. "I'll do it my way and I'll show you." And it got him so riled up, he killed his brother. He compounded the issue because he specialized in his own sacrifice. Now he's got murder and had to be cast away. Had to be right, had to be able to do his thing. That's called specializing. Then you have the heir of Balaam for reward. You know the story of Balaam, I trust. He was a man who was asked to curse Israel and said, "I can't. It doesn't work." And finally he said, "I can't curse them, but I can do something that will destroy them." And so they paid him so that he could help them get Israel to intermarry with other nations. And pretty soon, in the long term, that brought destruction. What does that mean to us today when it talks about that ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward? I will tell you this, there are things that are going to confront the church in this day, and pretty well, you pretty much see it already. well, I don't think that that's that bad. I don't think that he really meant that. I really don't think that we, you know, have to worry about those things. And here you've got God saying, look, I gave you my word and I've given you the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to listen to me and stop justifying what you think is okay and telling other people that it's okay just because you want to do it yourself. If the main thing is not the worship of God, it's about like this guy said. If you've got to post these nasty things and tell people off and all this kind of stuff and get on Facebook and then say, oh, but, you know, God is awesome. Well, we need to figure out attitude in that, don't we? I will very seldom put something on Facebook just for that reason. But every once in a while, there's a leader or someone who purports themselves to be a Christian leader. And if I think there's great error in what they're saying, I say it. Because see, that's what I see Jesus doing. I'm not trying to say I'm Jesus. What I'm saying is Jesus confronted the religious. He confronted the error of the teachers. The rest of the people, they're pretty much just saying who they are. But when there are leaders and teachers, self-professed teachers, who are speaking things that are completely out of context of the Word of God, I think there's an accountability that has to be brought. And I might message them privately, but if they persist, I definitely will post right on their page. Because if somebody doesn't say something, who's going to say for the people who actually believe them? Jesus said to the Pharisees, oh, you guys are such a lovely bunch. I know I'm supposed to be nice and not confront you, so therefore I'll just leave you be, but I really don't like what you're doing. I don't think that's quite what he said. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and you move heaven and earth to make one convert, and when you do convert him, you've made him twice the child of hell. Any questions? And just for that, I'm going to turn your tables over. And I might even make a whip. Oh, but be nice, church. Wednesday morning, I'll get through this real quick here. Wednesday morning in prayer, I was asked to lead the prayer this week. And I'm stirred, let's put it that way. Maybe you can't tell. I am sick of pacifism in the church. Well, you just need to love people. Is it possible to love people into hell? I think it is. And it's the truth that makes people free. Not everybody can receive it, and you shouldn't say it just because you can. Truth can be spoken in love. But if you think to somebody whose truth is different than yours that your truth is going to be acceptable, it's probably not. But if you see somebody that's headed for the cliff, wouldn't you want to say something and say, you know what's right ahead of you? Destruction! Stop! And I believe that's where we are. And then it says, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Do you remember Korah? He's saying, why, Moses, do you think you're the only one that hears from God? The sons of Korah, we hear from God. There's 125 of us that hear from God. And God spoke to Moses and said, okay, I'm with them. Have them all fill a censer with incense and come out and meet me in the morning. Come out of their tents and meet me in the morning. And so the two sons of Korah and the 125 all came out in the morning. And God told Moses and said, before I go any further, Moses, tell the people to separate themselves from the tents of Korah. And it doesn't say why. But Moses obviously understood why. So he went over to the people. He says, folks, you probably don't want to stand over in this area. If you would, if you want to, you could move over here, and I think you'll be okay. Because there's going to be something that happens here, and it's not going to be pretty. And the sons of Korah contended with Moses and said, well, we'll see about this day. And he said, look, if you live through the day, then I haven't heard from God, basically. And he says, if you stand in their area, you're going to be swallowed by the earth. And while he was yet speaking, the earth opened up and took the tents of Korah, the sons of Korah, and their families, and they were buried in it. And God took care of the 125. And then he took all of those censers, and they flattened them out and put them as ornaments so that people would never forget. You see, we can get impassioned that we have something to say. And Korah and his sons just thought that Moses took too much to himself and he really wasn't the instrument of God. And that they also were equals. Well, that didn't offend Moses near as much as it offended God, because God's the one who instructed Moses from the beginning. I want to tell you, we're going to have to be very careful in these days. Because you see, those things are what Jude said clear back in first century. But the truth is, I think they're more real today than they've ever been. We're going to have to guard our doctrine. We're going to have to know what we believe. We're going to have to stand. You think it's going to end? Have you heard the stories about Canada? I mean, Canada is turning into a socialistic nation. Arresting pastors, closing churches, mandating like nothing else. What are you going to do when they tell you you can't buy or sell? I think I'll talk now. I'm not going to wait. We all have our issues. We all have our specialties. And that's actually really good, because all of us God wants to use as a collective body. But when we recognize the days we're in, I'm going to tell you, we have to concentrate on keeping the main thing the main thing. We think we've trusted Jesus before. I believe the days are coming when that will look like child's play for how we have to trust him now. So what we're to be doing now is developing our trust in him and keeping the main thing the main thing. 1 Corinthians 2, chapters, verses 1 and 2, you don't even have to turn there, you can write it down. And it's Paul saying this, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." You want to talk about the main thing? The only thing that I can tout to you is, I am a child of God. And the only thing that you should tout to me is, I'm a child of God. And out of that mutuality, we become the church. And that's the part of the church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. So it can't create division in that part. It's only when our specialties take us into these other places, and that's when we add things in that we feel are spiritual because they're our truth, and yet they're not the main thing. And we have to pull back from that and say, you know what? That's not the thing I need to be speaking. I've got to make him glorified and not me. Can you receive that this morning? Because you see, this is what I'm talking about. I believe there's going to be a lot more things come down the pike. I think we're on the very front end, but if you haven't understood yet that when they start talking about you, you won't be able to buy or sell. You can't go to a restaurant unless this and this. You're going, wow, this is closing in pretty fast. Although I did see another one. I thought it pretty good, and I'm just going to say it because it fits what I'm talking about. If you go into a restaurant and they say, I'm going to need to see your vaccination card. You just look back at him and say, well, actually, I need to see yours. And the cooks, and the waiter, and the owner. I also need to see who uses drugs. I need to see a tox screen. I need to see some other things here too, because I'm coming into your environment and I really don't trust it. Now, I know you need my money, but I'm willing to pay for some food. But if this is how you want to do it, just know you're going to be in short supply. I think that might work. You know what that is? That's being ready with your answer before you're confronted with it. And that's where the church ought to be. We have the truth. What we have to never doubt is that he's with us, that he's for us, and he will prevail. He is not threatened. He's not anxious. He's not worried. He knows exactly what's happening, and he is the same God today that he's been forever, and he will be through all of this. And just because we're Americans, we're concerned, you could be in Afghanistan today. Amen? See, this is what we get. We get this Americanized idea about God, and he's not American. We are privileged to be American. Blessed and covered and beyond any. And yet, we love control. Hallelujah. Let me pray with you. I'm going to close. And Pastor Rick's going to come. Father, you know the days we're in. We're the ones catching up. We're the ones who are surprised. You're not. But God, what I'm asking today is that you would help us here at River of Life to be the church of the living God. Not concerned, oh God, with how it's going to turn out. Not concerned that our voice has to be so heard that otherwise it's really going to get chaotic. Father, we just say be glorified. And whatever we can do to bring glory to your name, that's where our buy-in should be. And whatever it is, oh God, that you would see that we need to go through, then we accept, oh God, that we need to go through. But where we need to raise our voice, God, prompt us and help us to be bold. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. God, you're the one who sent Jesus into this world. Jesus, you have paid the way and paved the way for us. Help us not to be so specialized that we lose track of the main thing. And I'm asking, oh God, bring it again to us. God, let us be true worshipers, just spirit and truth. Just spirit and truth. And we thank you, God, for all you're doing in all of the church, all over the world. In Jesus' name, amen.